I want to go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to reread a portion of this conversation between the woman at the well and Jesus. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. It's speaking, the he's talking about is, of course, Jesus. So, verse 3, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which would be about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. We'll just stop reading there. It's a beautiful passage, and I want to think about this water. Now, I think, you know, you and I, you know, I've got a cup of water here. I've got a pitcher of water back here. If I were to drink all this and I were to drink all that, we've got running water here. I can go fill it back up again. We don't understand no water. I mean, there's probably been times in your life when you've been thirsty. But really for us, the idea of water, it's so common that we really don't value it. You know, I know a lot of times, you know, we go to restaurants and I tell my children, you know, we're drinking water today because it's free, you know. Drink water, you know. They want to drink Coke, you know. But water's free. It's just flowing all the time. That's not the case here, okay? This is an arid land. We're talking about the heat of the day. Water's not a luxury here. I mean, water's a precious commodity is what I'm trying to say. It is life itself. I mean, this is the area where if you don't have water, you die, okay? Without water, you're dead, okay? Water is precious. Again, hottest part of the day, it's high noon, Jesus comes along and he sits on the well. Doesn't have anything to draw water from, and here's this woman, she comes up, and I know this is all orchestrated by God. We talked about that last week. You know, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. So why did he need to go? I believe he went because he wanted to meet that woman, and he wanted to speak to her. So we know that God's behind all these things. Now, this woman comes, and she is getting water, and Jesus said, give me to drink. And she wants to know, well, why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for water? You know, we know that the Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. Why are you even bothering me with this? And then Jesus says, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, I want you just for a moment, get yourself in the mind of the woman. Okay? When he says living water, in her mind, she's thinking of a spring. She's not thinking of anything spiritual. She's imagining that this guy's got, he knows where some spring is that would be fresh water. You know, it's not like a well. A well is just a pool of water, and it's down there. I've read about this. They think they know where Jacob's well is, and if it is the well that they think, it's a 100-foot deep well. So Jacob dug a 100-foot deep well. And so that's where the water is. It's 100 feet down, and it's down there. And she's envisioning Jesus offering her some sort of living water, which would be a spring of some sort, some stream somewhere that's around here. And that's why she would ask the question, you don't have anything to draw with. Where are you supposed to get this water? Are you greater than Jacob? You know, Jacob, our father, he dug this well. And this is where he watered his cattle. This is where he watered his family. If there was a spring around here, he'd have been using the spring. Okay, that's the idea. That's what she's getting in her mind. So she's not thinking spiritually. Okay, she's thinking in terms of a spring. Where is this? Where is this water? You know, give it to me. I mean, I'd like to know where that is. She's very doubtful. I picture being a pretty harsh woman. Again, you know, a sinful woman. We talked about this last week, and so she's been hardened by her sin, and so we see maybe a sense of sarcasm in her voice a little bit. But now we know that Jesus is actually talking about spiritual water. We know that Jesus is really, in a sense, he is continuing a theme that is presented throughout the Scripture. I want to read you several Old Testament statements, and don't bother to turn. Just listen to what I'm saying, and if you want the verses, I'll give you the verses. This is the psalmist. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You see, you can picture this deer that's been running, and it's just thirsty, and the tongue's hanging out, and just my heart panteth after thee, O God. You see a thirst, a tremendous thirst for God. Jeremiah tells us, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So Jeremiah is talking to the people of Israel, and the problem with Israel is, you know, they have forsaken living waters, a flowing stream, that which can truly quench, and they found these broken cisterns, and it doesn't even hold water. Isaiah says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. You see, again, this theme of water. Hosea, again, in Isaiah 55 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, that he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, everyone that's thirsty, you come to this water that's free. We could go to statements made in the book of Ezekiel or the book of Zechariah, which describes life-giving water flowing from the presence of God in Jerusalem. And this is speaking of an age to come. And the same theme is even found in the New Testament. And we go to the book of Revelations and we get this picture of the heavenly Jerusalem. And for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears. All of these passages remind us and reveal to us something about our soul, that there is a thirst there that only God can satisfy. So when Jesus speaks to this woman and he offers to her living water, he's offering himself, God, as the one thing that will satisfy the deepest human longings. That's what he's offering. And he says this, he has this same theme in other places over in the book of John chapter 6. Just turn over a couple of pages in verse 35. He says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, I quench the deepest thirst such that you never are thirsty again. That which your soul needs most of all, I supply. And then over in chapter 7, just turn over the page again, maybe two pages, depending on how your Bible is laid out, in verse 37 of chapter 7. In the day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You see what Jesus is offering? Jesus is offering the ultimate water in the desert. He's offering the thing that this world can never offer. It can never truly satisfy. Jesus is saying, I've got what your soul, the deepest part of who you are, what that craves, I've got water for there, not just to satisfy for one day, but to satisfy for all eternity. That's what I'm offering you. We so many times we look at this world, and if you want to, you can picture the world as a desert, and people are thinking that the things of this world will somehow satisfy, and they don't. You know, we think about fame, and people think about money and power, and even entertainment, and trying to just entertain yourself, and even relationships. People think of relationships. All these are like Israel's broken cisterns. They may give you just a little bit of relief, but they're not going to ultimately quench your deepest thirst. Jesus is saying, I alone have what you need. Listen to what he says back in chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is what Jesus is offering. This is what he's offering. He's offering to quench your soul's thirst. That's what he's offering. And really, when you start looking at that, and in the context of all these other passages that I have read, what he's talking about is a cleansing. He's talking about a washing. He's talking about giving you spiritual life. He's talking about transformation that would come from the Holy Spirit. And I think about a statement made in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 16. Listen to what he says. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what Jesus is offering. He's offering to this woman, who we know is a sinful, wicked woman. Okay? We know she's a sinful woman. But he's washing to cleanse all her sins, all the things that would make her soul dirty before God. And let's go ahead and just admit it, that all of our souls are dirty before God because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus is saying, come to me and let me wash that. Come to me and let me give you this water that's going to bring life, spiritual life to you. That's what he's offering. It's a beautiful, beautiful illustration because this woman understands natural thirst. And he's saying, you've got a greater thirst, the thirst of your soul, and I'm the only thing that will quench that. And what I can do is I can give you this water, and it will be such that you will never thirst again. This is what Jesus is offering. Life-changing water. Water that brings life. Water that would cleanse and heal her broken spirit. And all this is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I could say the same thing today. What Jesus Christ is offering everyone here is this kind of living water. And if you came today and you came with the kind of thirst of soul, if you came today and your soul is thirsty, you need to understand you can leave here quenched. Jesus Christ offers to quench your thirst. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you have that thirst, Jesus Christ satisfies that thirst. And there's people here that have been saved, and they know that thirst, that they came to that time when their soul was parched, and their mouth was dry, their spiritual mouth was dry, and they were thirsty, and they came to Christ, and Jesus Christ gave them that living water. And that thirst was quenched. I tell you what now, what Jesus is offering is precious. So again, I say to you, if you came to here today thirsty, you can leave here filled with living water. It's through Jesus Christ. I really, really like the story of this woman. I've tried to think about it, and I guess even through the week, I know we preached revival last week at Lone Star, and there were different times that I already knew what I was going to preach that night, so I would begin to go back to this passage, and I'd try to meditate on it. And the thought that kept going back to my mind is actually found in verse... Well, I'm going to just back up and read verse 25. Look at verse 25. They've had this conversation about religion and all this, and I'm going to just skip that for right now. Let's look at verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. So, I'm the one that you're looking for. You're looking for somebody to answer all your questions? I'm Him. Okay, I'm the Messiah. I'm Christ. He is revealing Himself to this woman. And I'll tell you the truth, when a person gets saved, Jesus reveals Himself to them. I'm not saying that literally that He appears before him or that He speaks to him with an audible voice, but here's how a person gets saved. They get saved when they see Jesus Christ as their only hope. Okay? And He reveals Himself as the Christ. He reveals Himself as your only hope. And if you can see that Jesus Christ is your only hope, you can trust Him and you'll be saved. But listen to verse 27. And upon this came His disciples, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went away into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The thing that kept going through my mind all through the week is, she left her water pot. She left her water pot. Now, I've tried to think, why did she leave her water pot? I mean, from a natural standpoint, maybe she just got excited, you know, and just forgot it. You know, maybe that's why. Maybe she just got excited and she, you know, just went back into town and forgot her water pot. That's a possibility. Maybe she was being thoughtful. Maybe she said, well, you know, I know that Jesus is going to be thirsty. Disciples are coming up. They're going to be thirsty. I'll just leave it for them. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But in any case, God, in His infinite wisdom and by inspiration, moved upon John to give us this simple illustration of this woman who leaves her water pot. Now, I think that it is an illustration that this woman came thirsty and she left filled. It's beautiful. She left her water pot. Her deepest thirst was quenched. She left satisfied. We see her transformed. We see her going into the city and inviting these men. Now, again, this is a woman who's had five husbands and is living with another man. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I picture a woman who is accustomed to being somewhat abused and used by men. Okay? And so men are probably not her favorite gender right now. Women either. She feels shame. She feels her sin. She has felt dirty. And as a consequence of that, she does not even want to be around other people. We know this because she comes at high noon to gather water. Now, that's an odd time to be going to the well. Normally, women would come together in groups, and they would all go together, and they could do all their gossiping and all this kind of stuff, and they would just be visiting one another. And you could imagine just a whole just gaggle of women going to the water in the evening, in the cool of the evening, or maybe even early in the mornings or something like this. But this woman goes in the heat of the day. She knows nobody else is going to be there. She doesn't want to see anybody. She doesn't want to talk to anybody. But here this woman is. She's going into the city during the busy part of the day. She's going into the city and she's telling people, you need to come meet this guy. You need to see him. He's told me all things about myself. Brother Sylvester, she's even talking about her sin. You notice that? She says, he's told me all about me. He's revealed my sin. This is a woman that was ashamed and felt dirty. And she said, you need to meet this guy. Surely this is the Christ. Or she actually says, is this not the Christ? We see a woman, again, whose sin and shame led her to avoid people. Now, in the presence of people, speaking boldly to others about her sin, no longer ashamed. The chains that at one time bound her and tied her up such that she didn't even want to be in the presence of other people, they're gone. She's been set free. She's been set free. Is it any wonder then that the Scriptures would describe salvation as a new birth? Is it any wonder that the Scriptures would describe salvation as being made a new creature? I mean, can you not see this is a different person now? This is not the same woman that went to the well. She's a new creature. How come? She's met the Savior. Because she's met Christ, she's a new creature. Again, I just have to pause here a moment. And I want to ask you a question. Did you come thirsty? Did you come today knowing what you are before God? And would you like to leave here a new creature? Would you like to leave here born again? Well, then go to Jesus. I mean, that's what Christ is offering. He's offering to transform you. He's offering to change you. He's offering to wash away your sins. He's offering to cleanse you. He's offering to give you living water that brings life, that brings hope, that brings security, that quenches your greatest and deepest needs. It's through Jesus Christ. Now, I've been thinking about this throughout the week, and I want to ask you a question. You that are saved, I want you to think about with me just for a minute. What happens when your deepest longings are satisfied in Christ? What happens when that deep thirst that your soul has is quenched? Well, what's supposed to happen is you no longer have a need for the broken cisterns of this world. I mean, if I've been made accepted in the Beloved, that really is sufficient for me. I don't have to have the acceptance of other people. I don't have to be, I ought not to need others' acceptance when God has accepted me before God. It's not that the gospel is to leave us proud or arrogant. I don't see this woman as proud or arrogant. I see this woman with meekness, but I see this woman with boldness at the same time. But her boldness is not in herself or what she's accomplished. She says, come see a man. You see how she's pointing people to Christ? We as God's people, this is the model for us, that we are to be so satisfied in Christ, so understanding that the chains of this world have been broken free, so satisfied with what Jesus Christ offers us, that we go out into the world and we say, come see a man. Not that we go into the world and we desire the same things that this world desires. I mean, Christ sets us free from this world. It liberates us for the kingdom's work. And this woman left her water pot. She left behind the old desires. Now, she's not needing those anymore. She's been set free. That's the model for us. We are to live free. Free from the love of this world. Free from the trappings of this world. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 right quick. And you just as well turn to this passage because I'm going to read for a little while. Again, this woman left her water pot. She left behind the old desires because she's found satisfaction in Jesus. And I'm saying that that's the model for us. That we would find ourselves so satisfied with Christ that we leave behind the old desires. And this theme is presented here with Paul. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vow bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, that whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Isn't that beautiful? That's a lot of words. And I'm not going to go back and just go through everything, but you see the theme, what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you know, if you're really risen with Christ, if you're really born again, then don't have your affection set on the things of this world. Don't go back to your old water pot. You've been satisfied with the living water of Jesus Christ. Be satisfied with that. Put your affections on things above. That's where Christ is. That's the one who gave you the living water. Put your mind up there. Set your affections on those things. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like you mortifying your flesh. It looks like you killing those sinful desires that are within you and rejecting those things and pushing those things out and letting those things die a natural death as you would have your affections on the things that really matter. You've been made new. Now live like it is what he's saying. It's just a beautiful passage. And he tells us that we ought to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I tell you what, how often you and I hinder our witness for the cause of Christ because we're still acting like we're thirsty. But if we have truly been satisfied with the living water of Jesus Christ, why must we have such thirst for the things of this world? It is very difficult for you and I to defend our faith if we're not transformed by our faith. That's what Paul's saying. You and I are called to find our complete satisfaction in Jesus Christ. He tells us to deny self, to take up our cross and to follow Him. Complete surrender to Him. And we're enabled to do this as you and I see the sufficiency of Christ. Another passage that comes to mind is over the book of Ephesians chapter 1. There's another passage that came to mind, and I'm going to grab it too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings have been given you in Christ in heavenly places. And there's more to that than you and I could possibly fathom. But the thing that we need to understand is everything that you and I need, we have. We have been totally satisfied through Jesus Christ. We've got a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He tells us in chapter 2, verse 6, He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, there's more to that passage than, quite frankly, I know what to do with. But this is the thought I want you to think about. There is in a spiritual sense, because we have met Christ, we have been joined to Christ, and just as Christ is right now in the presence of God, you and I are right now in the presence of God because we are talking about how that when you and I pray, because of the Spirit of God that dwells in us, that there is a Spirit within us that as we pray, it cries out to God, making intercession for Christ has to offer. We have been satisfied through Jesus. The other passage I wanted to read to you is over in 2 Peter chapter 2, and he said in verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Well, back at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of... grace and peace be multiplied. Angie always gets on to me because she said, you read the passages too fast. So let's stop. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Isn't grace what we need this week? Don't we need God's unmerited favor? Don't we need peace? He says it is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on, according as his divine power. You remember that power that resurrected Jesus Christ? The power that gave him life? He said that dwells in you, that same power. And through his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The problem that we as Christians have is we don't really see what we have in Christ. We don't appreciate what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. We forget that He is all-sufficient, that He is everything that we need. Y'all sing that song, don't you? He's all I need. Isn't that the song y'all sing? You believe it? I think a lot of times we sing songs that we know in theory, we don't know in practice. I'm not saying anything about y'all. I'm talking about me. The Lord's going to take care of you. You believe it? He works all things together for good. You believe it? See, what we need to get to is where this academic knowledge that we have of Christ becomes practical. But what we're doing, maybe I'm just talking to myself, we're trying to find satisfaction in the things of this world that will never satisfy. And the truth of the matter is, we've already found that which will satisfy through Jesus Christ. She left her water pot, people. She's not thirsty anymore. Why do we keep trying to go back and get the water pot? If we've truly been satisfied. Why is it? Again, let me just throw this out. Our toting our water pot around and telling everybody that Jesus is going to satisfy all your thirst is not working. They're not buying it. We're an unconvincing witness. When we're telling everybody that Jesus satisfies, He's all we need. If we're trying to find satisfaction in the broken cisterns of this world, one last statement about this woman. I like her certainty. And she says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, I think she poses that in the form of a question because she's trying to be tactful. She knows her reputation. Okay, she's got a reputation. We know that she does. Cities weren't that big back then, so everybody knows who she is. So she's being tactful. She didn't want to just kind of come along and preach to everybody. But she's not being doubtful. She said, "Come see a man. You come see a man that's told me all things. Is not this the Christ?" This is really the same thing that we saw back in chapter 1 when we read John chapter 1. We saw, Jesus would speak to, or John would speak to Andrew. Andrew would go to Peter, and he would say, "Come see this man." He would just invite people, "Come and see. You've just got to come and see. You come see for yourself." He's not worried about whether or not they're really going whether or not they're going to believe him. He said, "Look, the proof is going to be there. You just come see. Come see." There's a certainty there. I think sometimes we are afraid to be certain. We're afraid to be certain. We live in a world that tells us that there's no such thing as truth, and everybody has their own opinion. And Brother Fred, this group over here, they want to worship Allah, and this group over here wants to worship Buddha, and this group over here wants to worship whatever they want to worship. And the thinking of the day is that everybody has their own little ways of doing things, and there's many different paths to heaven. But simply, that's just not true. The Bible tells us that Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by Me. Now that's pretty exclusive. That rules out all other paths. That rules out all other options. There's no other options. And this woman here, she says, you know what? I can testify to that. You come see a man because he's told me all things about myself. This is the Christ. Now she's saying in the question because she's being tactful. She says, is this not the Christ? Do you see her certainty? Isn't this Jesus? I mean, isn't this the Christ? Isn't this the Messiah? The one that's going to tell us all things? He told me all things. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't be afraid of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. In fact, what we need to do is to live the gospel. Live it out. Be transformed by the power of Christ. Be satisfied in Christ and show that to the world. Tell the world, you come see a man. You come see Jesus. You're going to find that He will satisfy your deepest thirst. He has satisfied mine. That's the message that we need to proclaim to the world. Now let me just turn once again, just at the last, to those that are here that are lost. You need to understand Jesus Christ will satisfy your deepest thirst. You came here thirsty. You can leave here filled by trusting in Jesus Christ.